Okay, well, today we're wrapping up our series entitled So Many Choices. So Many Choices. We've been talking each week about the fact that we live in a time with options that go way beyond what many of us ever experienced in our youth. And that's not always been necessarily a good thing in some ways, because more opportunities to kind of get off track in terms of any relationship with the Lord. I was reading, again, research, kind of, you know, background, working on today's teaching, and I came across an article that says American Christianity is not well, and there's evidence to indicate that its condition is more critical than most realize or at least want to admit. Pollsters, most notably evangelical, he's a Christian, George Barna, I've referenced him before, have reported repeatedly that they can find little measurable difference between the moral behavior of churchgoers and the rest of American society. Every day the church is becoming more like the world it allegedly seeks to change, Barna has said. Culturally, America is still a Christian nation, meaning that most of us still attend church at least occasionally, celebrate Christmas and Easter, and pepper our conversations with God bless you or I'll be praying for you. But judging by the behavior, okay, not the words, judging on the actions, the behavior, the choices that people make in terms of Christians, they've become secularists. Meaning, a person that rejects all forms of religious faith and worship. The sea of hypocrisy between Christian beliefs and Christian actions is driving Americans away from the institutional church in record numbers. That is the reality that the Christian church is dealing with today. That the behavior of the majority of Christian people is not that much different from the people who don't confess faith in Jesus or anything. It simply, as I read this, and again, a number of other things I ran across but don't want to take the time to talk about, it just reinforces for me the criticalness of this series. That we are talking about a moral compass, a place out of which we make the decisions, the choices of our life. We said our moral compass is what influences our choices. That's the first thing on your fill in the blank. You've seen that each week. I'm hoping that that is just kind of working its way into the DNA of your heart and your mind. We have looked at, and Pastor Dan again referenced today, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Critically important. I've added another passage, Romans 8:6. Same kind of thought, only from the New Testament. It says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Now think about that. Anybody here need some life and peace in their life? Yeah, we do. Can you imagine wanting to direct your life away from the control of the Holy Spirit so that life and peace are absent? Think about that. Do you really want those things to be absent? Do you really want to say, God, I really don't need you that much in my life, just kind of when I need you? Otherwise, you know, just kind of leave me alone. The stakes are high. We're talking about a difference between death and life. The moral compass is that important. It's that critical in the choices that we make, the difference between death and life. Now, last week we talked about our tongue. We've done, the first week was our hands, the second week, feet. Last week, week three, was the tongue, our mouth, words that we speak. We said, you know, God speaks to us graciously, he speaks to us tenderly, he speaks to us sometimes very firmly, but it's always to add value to our lives. That is how God speaks to us. And we raise the question, do we add value to people's lives by how we speak to each other? Very important question. Am I adding value? We also talked about four filters. If you will run a conversation through these four filters, and if it comes out, then you're in good shape. Does anybody remember the first one? Open. Second one? Honest. Third is direct. And number four, gracious. Awesome. And you know what? Every person that responded is on the worship team. They're doing this in their small group on Thursday night. That proves a point. Michael and I were just talking about this the other day. A pastor's teaching is a thankless job because by Tuesday or Wednesday, most people have forgotten it. All right? And the power of small group and the teaching outline is that this stuff is remembered much longer. So, awesome job. Kudos. Good work. Okay, now, this week we're going to look at, I'm putting together both eyes and ears, things we listen to and things that we look at. Again, let's talk about some common uses, not some of the long lists that we've had for others, but just common uses of our eyes. Anybody? See. Reading. Thank you. What else? Watching. Yes. Taking in just kind of the sights of creation. Okay. Let me see if I got anything else on my list here. Observing body language in a conversation. We do this without really even thinking about it consciously. We do. We kind of read situations, circumstances that we're in. We take that in through our eyes and evaluate, right, what's going on around us. Okay, what else? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Another thing that we do with our eyes is wink. Yeah, what does a wink communicate? What's that? Okay, yeah. It's kind of like, I think of it kind of like a smile. It's kind of smiling with an eye, with your eyes. Your whole face is involved in that, but it is. It's kind of an extension of something pleasant. You know, that's good. Okay, now, common expressions. What are some common expressions?
Don't roll your eyes at me.
Don't roll your eyes at me. Okay, what do we have here? All right. See no evil, hear no evil, speak. I couldn't do this last week because I was too far ahead of the job. But you know, we have all three sermons last week and the two today that go together right there. That's actually, I realized this is from Japanese tradition that this whole thing came to our country from. So okay, so don't roll your eyes at me. What else? Okay. Okay, what else? Ah, okay, alright. Here's, okay, what else? What else? Don't look at me like that. Okay, okay. Don't, I'm keeping an eye on you. Okay, what else? The evil eye. Alright, what are some other ones? Apple, the apple of my eye. Excellent, okay. What about an eagle eye? What is that? Very sharp, like, yeah, okay. Or some people say, you got a good eye, means you pick up a few more details than most people. Not really the eagle eye thing, but that's a little bit different. Okay, what else? What else? What? I got too many at once.
Eyewitness?
A blind eye. What does that mean? We kind of ignore, or we kind of, yeah, we don't want to see that, right? Okay, Gene? Okay. Keep your eyes peeled. Okay, we use these things all the time, don't we? Yeah, yeah. Easy on the eyes, right? Yeah. No, don't. Okay. All right. Set your sights on something. Yeah. Okay. All right. A sight for sore eyes. Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. We've all seen sights for sore eyes. Absolutely. That's a blessing. All right. Question. What is the responsibility of a country's customs agents? What's their responsibility? Okay, to keep things and people out or in. Or they approve who comes in, right? Or what? Who and what? Right. In fact, when we first moved down to Florida, we saw out on, was on I-75 coming in? Right, we came in on 75, didn't we? Yeah. There were some of the agricultural inspection stations. You had, they're kind of like the customs agents for the state in terms of the agriculture. If you have agricultural things, you have to go through there and be checked. And very important, because whomever or whatever they let in has access now to the rest of the country, right? Or the state, depending on what level that agent represents. Or influence, absolutely. So, within reason, whatever a custom agent says, or whomever they say is free to come in, has free access. Free access. So, the key thought, this is on your outline, our eyes and ears are the custom agents of our moral compass, of our heart, of our mind. Right? If you walk away with anything today, hang on to that. Our eyes and ears are the custom agents of our moral compass. In other words, our eyes and ears, what they let in as custom agents, now has free access to all of us, especially our heart and mind, our moral compass. Does that make sense? Okay, so you can see right away how incredibly important it is that we talk about this thing. Because, again, thinking, you know, on the agriculture, and there was a Dustin Hoffman, what's his name? Graduate, the movie The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman. That is Hoffman. Why? That does not sound right. Anyway, there was another movie that he had, he was a physician or something, or with the World Health, an infected monkey that got into the country, and yes, I mean, that was, woo, anyway, this stuff, once it's in the country, goes everywhere. So, infected, affected. Very, very important. All right. And again, that's why this series is so important. Because if we're not monitoring these custom agents, the eyes and the ears, if we're not monitoring these things, our moral compass is more likely to be off course. Okay, if anything and everything is allowed in and has access to all of us, especially our heart and mind, wow, I mean, we're in serious trouble, all right? That is not good. And by extension, if we're not monitoring what our kids watch and listen to, the odds are their lives are going to be off course as well. And I was thinking about it this week. We were watching a show the other day, and there were some kids on there basically imitating the stage behavior and performance standards that are present in our culture today. I was thinking about it. I said, you know what? That kind of behavior, you know, the hip movements and grabbing the crotch and things like that, that was stuff that was in the strip clubs years ago. And it's just commonplace. This is what little kids now see on mainstream television. So it's gone from a very isolated part of our society, it's gone mainstream. Is it any wonder that each generation seems to just struggle more and more with the effect of sin? Okay, custom agents. Do you see why this is so important? We need to be talking about this. We need to be diligent inspectors regarding what we allow to come into our heart, into our mind, our moral compass. Again, think about this. Our hands, our feet, our mouth or our tongue, they represent what's already in us, don't they? Those things, we talked about that, the diligence, the kind of temptations we go towards, things we stay away from, the kind of words we speak, they're all reflections of what's already in us. The ears and the eyes are different. And that's why I wanted to save it for the last one of the series. These actually work both ways. Because my moral compass influences the decisions I make about what I watch and what I listen to. But at the same time I'm making those decisions, I'm also letting stuff in. Not so with hands, feet, or mouth. All right? Tongue. So, a higher level of, I think, awareness and intention needs to go into this thing. Proverbs 23, Solomon kind of brings this together. He says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. My question is, how are you doing at monitoring what you take into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, into your moral compass. How are you doing at monitoring that? Let's talk a little bit about movies for a moment. I was at the Verizon wireless shop the other day getting some upgrades, some things taken care of on our cell phones, and the young man wanted to introduce me to what is available through Verizon for your home. Not the wireless, this is the internet, TV, and telephone. And the sales pitch, I realized, was primarily around movie channels. That's the big sell point. The more movie channels you can get for free, it's like, wow, gotta have it, that's a better deal. If you want to spend all of your time watching movies, I guess that's one thing. I'm not sure that's the wisest way to spend your time, but it is harder and harder to find good movies. It really is. You have to spend extra time to find good stuff. TV shows. Here again, I saw an advertisement today for, I think it's called 2 1/2 Men. Trash! It's soft porn. Again, this is the kind of stuff, I'm not kidding, and the fact that they put a child in the show to see all this trash. I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. What is up with this? Again, this is the stuff that was on the fringes, and now it's mainstream. This is normal. I think George Barn is onto something. I don't think our choices as Christians is all that much different anymore than the people that don't even confess Jesus. Do we think about what we're watching? I've talked about some of these other shows like Grey's Anatomy. Very interesting little double meaning there, because there's lots of anatomy on that show, as well as 2 1/2 Men. And you've got to be on your toes, because you can be watching. We've seen this. We've been watching a very appropriate show, and boom, a Victoria's Secret ad pops on. Again, we're talking soft porn. I mean, this stuff is right out. You would never have seen that even in a magazine up to this point. It just unheard of. So there is this interesting progression of things that used to be on the fringes because they were sort of unacceptable. It's now mainstream. So, it varies, okay? This stuff varies by your culture, your socioeconomic. It varies by gender, okay? Guys, certain things catch your eyes. Gals, certain things catch your eyes. It's different. It varies, all right? The thing is, listen to this, 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, that phrase, the lust of the eyes, is kind of common if you know Bible speak. It's kind of a common phrase for the people that are kind of into this whole thing. But here's why this is important. Because what you see becomes what you want. Okay, make that connection. What you see becomes what you want or what you go after. And now what has come in is now affecting the feet. Okay, the moral compass has now been influenced to go after things. Very, very important. You see how this stuff begins to tie together. Maybe you lust after someone's car. For some of you, that means nothing. I have to struggle with this. My neighbor down the street has a 1967 Corvette Stingray. Ooh! Every time that thing is sitting out, I look at that car and go, oh. Ah. Another neighbor, when their garage is up, there's a cute little red motorcycle. It's a small old with a sidecar on it. Cute as a button. Can you see us riding down the road in that thing? She can't. I can. All right. You know, for some of you, it's what people wear. You go, I sure wish I had those kind of clothes. or you drive by a certain house, or you visit a family member, a co-worker's home, or an acquaintance, and you're in their home, and you go, my house doesn't look like this. Oh, I sure wish I had this kind of home. So, again, you know, our life situation, our circumstance, where we're at, it all affects the kind of things that we want. We look at somebody's job and go, oh, I'll tell you, if I had that job. And your mind goes places, okay? You see things, you want things. This is probably more true for guys, although not as much anymore. You see someone's body and you go, yeah, I'd like that. Yeah, that'd be nice. Is that really what you want your eyes searching for? Is that how you want your moral compass affected? Here's another reminder about the criticalness of this. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. Okay, His eyes. His ears are open to their cries for help. Think about that. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. Bless you. 2 Chronicles 16. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Here's the thing. If our moral compass is directing our feet to go in paths, to look at things, to want things that God does not approve, that God does not bless, guess what? You're not going to be having God's ears attuned to you. You're not going to be experiencing the blessings of God in your life. Is that really? Think about that now before you answer. Do you really not want God blessing your life? We make that choice every day. We do. We do. Because ongoing sin keeps God's blessings away. It does. Again, hear me. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. He loves everyone that has ever breathed a breath of life in this earth. He does. But His blessings are conditional, based on our obedience. You will never find blessings disconnected from obedience in Scripture. You won't. Does that mean God's unfair? No. Because, in fact, Michael and I were talking about this. It's amazing. The fact that we are blessed, that's just a cool thing in itself. But you know what? Blessings based on obedience. How do I become obedient? Because of the power of God in my life. That is a gift. God blesses me and He gives me the power to be blessed. I mean, how good is that? Amen. That is amazing. That is amazing. That is how good. So don't think that God's being stingy and God's being a jerk and God's being a control freak. Don't go there. Okay? He blesses us in amazing kinds of ways. All right. Now, this one came up when I asked about expressions. Don't roll your eyes at me. Yeah. We've all heard it said, most likely, and we probably all said it, right? Yeah, absolutely. Especially the teachers in our audience, right? I just saw your eyes roll right there. You just did it. Yeah. He's going, yeah. I'm heading into that, he's saying. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be seeing eyes rolling every day. That's right. But we can communicate so many different emotions with our eyes. We can. Things like hatred and anger. And what's the expression? If looks could kill. Yeah. What else do we communicate with our eyes? Things like kindness, adoration, contempt, acceptance, disapproval, fear, sadness, happiness. A wide range. That's just a small, we could go on with that one forever. The things that we communicate with our eyes. Listen to this, Proverbs 15:30. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. And in fact, I think Ed read that passage in a different translation. Good news makes for good health. So are we monitoring at how we look at people? Are you monitoring how you look? Not just the words you speak. Are you monitoring how you look at people? Especially people that you live with. All right? especially people that you live with. Your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, family members. Are you monitoring? Okay? Does the way you look at people communicate acceptance? Does it communicate joy? Does it communicate blessing? Graciousness? Okay? Think about this for a second. Our witness begins with our eyes, not with our mouth. Your opportunity to influence someone for Jesus is going to be kind of made or blown on how you look before you ever even say a word. Think about that for a second. Is there a smile there in those eyes, on that face? That they're just sort of an affirmation of the person? Because if you're looking down at somebody, another expression, okay? If you're looking down or looking down your nose at somebody, do you think you have any opportunity to influence them for Jesus? No. No, you've closed the door. All right? That's not even a shot in the dark anymore. So very important. Am I adding value with my eyes? Not just my tongue, but with my eyes. All right, moving on. As I was doing my research for this one, I noticed, I'm not restricting it just to the Proverbs. I was just looking at, I had Lord and I think eyes in my search thing I was doing. And I came across a number of references that talked about the Lord opening the eyes. I thought, this is interesting. Going back to Genesis chapter 21, you can look at the stories behind these. I'm not going to take the time to explain them all. Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well. She immediately filled her water container and gave the boy, which was Ishmael, a drink. They're out in the desert, all right? And it saved their lives. Numbers 22. Again, several chapters of a story. You need to read the whole thing to really get the impact of this. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn, so he bowed low and fell face down. Saved his life. 2 Kings 6. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes. And he's talking about his servant. They're surrounded in the earthly realm, you might say, by the Aramean army. So Elisha says, open his eyes, Lord. The Lord opened his servant's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Amen. Mark chapter 10. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Teacher, the blind man, this is Bartimaeus, said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road. And then this is from Luke chapter 24. The two disciples that have left Jerusalem, the whole messianic thing has crashed. Jesus got killed. He got put in a tomb. They're on their way back to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. And they meet this stranger on the road who explains scripture to them. And they invite the stranger into their house. And they sat down to eat. He, the stranger, took a small loaf of bread, asked God's blessing on it, broke it, and then gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. That was Jesus. And at that moment, he disappeared. Here's the question. What did you see when Jesus opened your eyes? Think about that just a second. What did you see when Jesus opened your eyes? I think to an experience I had. I've shared bits and pieces of this before, but a number of years ago, I was sitting in a church auditorium listening to a nationally recognized name. If I told you who it was, it would probably get you thinking about other things. Don't need to even go there. And as I listened to him speak, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and the Lord opened my eyes to some things. And the first thing I saw was a mess. I saw the mess, the carnage of my moral compass and the choices that I had made over a period of many years. Now, thankfully, by the time I saw this, I had already changed the direction my life was going. But I had never had my eyes open like that to the reality of my choices. And I looked at that mess, and I remember thinking, there isn't anything I can do to fix this. There isn't a thing I can do to fix this. And it reminded me, and as I thought about this and worked on this part of the teaching, I thought, you know, this reminds me of the prodigal son. Remember that story? He takes the inheritance, wishes his dad was dead, takes the money, runs, spends it all. What happened when the Lord opened his eyes? He saw his messes, didn't he? He saw the real reality of his choices. And he said the same thing that I did, basically. I can't fix this. But what did he say? I know my dad can. I know my Heavenly Father can fix this mess I'm in. So when you had the Lord open your eyes, probably the same thing, you saw your sin. But did you see your Savior? Because He can put your life back together. It's not just that He can. He wants to. That's the amazing thing about God. He wants to. He wants to see our lives reach the full potential that He dreams for each person. And He's willing to pour His Spirit, to pour His time, His effort, His power into us to make this stuff happen. It's mind-boggling. It's amazing. It's amazing, 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 amazing grace. Amen. 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 Well, let's move on. We got to keep going here. Our ears. Again, not a long list really, but what are some of just the common uses of our ears? Listening. What else? Listening to. Let's just say listening to music. Gossip. Ouch. What else? True. True. What else? Listening to truth. Eavesdropping. Listening to the Lord. This morning, as I was kind of going back over this for the last time, the birds outside. Just crickets and different, just the sounds of creation. We can hear that. We can hear that. It's amazing that God said, you know, I want to make that part of this experience for these humans. Yeah, yeah. Common expressions about our ears. Common expressions. Gene. Keep your ears open. Don't bend my ear. What else? Chew your ear off. Earshot, within earshot. What else? Come on, get the creative juices going.
My ears are burning.
My ears are burning. Okay.
Get an earful.
What?
Ears are full of wax.
Ears full of wax. Okay, get an earful. What's that? The doctor can irrigate that, right? Sounds too good to be true. Okay. In one ear, out the other. Yeah, yeah. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what's coming.
Nothing between your ears. Oh,
yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were reminiscing about something a while back with our youngest, Nick, and he said something interesting to me. He said, Dad, when we first moved to Iowa, and that was a tough move for him. I mean, all of our moves were hard on him, but that one was tough too. And he was out of high school now, and a distant cousin of mine agreed to hire him as an electrician to begin learning the trade, and so working on a crew. And the first crew he got put with was just horrible. he hated every day that he went to work. But when he came home, he said, "Dad, I remember." He said, it really meant a lot to me. He said, "The way you greeted me when I came home was the best part of my day." And it was just something simple like, "Hey, Nick Seth." I could call him Nick Seth. His middle name, Nicholas Seth. "Hey, Nick Seth." And it was kind of the same thing pretty much every day. I didn't realize it until he told me later. The sound of that really touched him. Again, those are now words I spoke, but words he heard. And the blessing is it was adding value to his life. Music to my ears. Absolutely. You got to kind of put two things together there, didn't you, Ed? Your love for music. And a common expression. That's cool. That's good. All right. Job says this, "Just as the mouth tastes good food," in other words, the mouth is, and the food bearer and the cup bearer for the king, what were they doing? They were trying to make sure the food and the drink was okay, right? So the toxicity or the healthiness. So the ear tests the words it hears. All right? So, again, the testing. We're supposed to be careful about what we listen to, again, take in. Not just our eyes, they're both. Eyes and ears are the custom agents. So, that's on your outline. What kind of things do you listen to? What kind of things do you listen to? Conversation-wise, comment ago about listening to gossip. Listening to gossip is just as bad as spreading gossip because you're allowing gossip to be spread by listening. Amen. Listening is just as wrong. You're participating in the sin. Close it off. Doesn't make you better than the other person. It just means you weren't the one spreading it today. Yeah. So, enough said. Music. What kind of music do you listen to? Again, you're letting it in and giving it access to your entire life. Are you thinking about that? Are you monitoring that? Do you selectively choose what kind of radio stations you listen to? Are you giving that thought? We have a responsibility to test the words that we hear. And if you've been doing your reading, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you've been working your way through the book of Proverbs this month, you will have read a number of phrases like this. Proverbs 1:8, "Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching." Proverbs 4:1, "My children, listen to me. Listen to your father's instruction. Pay attention and grow wise." Proverbs 5:1, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel." Proverbs 22, "Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction." Which leads me to say, this is the next fill in the blank. It's listening that leads to receiving. Okay? It's one thing to have ears that can hear. It's another thing to have those ears connected to a heart and a mind that's open to receiving from God. Big difference. I'm hearing, but I'm not receiving. So, it's one thing for God to speak. It's a whole other thing for us to listen. Samuel was just a little boy. Some of you know the story. I put the reference in your outline. You can go back and look at this. In fact, you need to kind of go before the reference and then after. I'm just going to pick out a couple verses from this to illustrate this point. Samuel's a little boy. It's really cool. He was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. Think about that. He's sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. that's a sermon in itself. That's amazing. But anyway, he hears his name called, Samuel. So he gets up and runs to Eli, who is the prophet at that time, the priest overseeing the tabernacle. He thinks Eli's called him. And so he gets up. Eli says, no, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. God calls him again. He runs to Eli. Eli says, no, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. Third time, Eli goes, something's going on here. He thinks, you know, this could be God calling Samuel. So he says, Samuel, next time, go lie down, and if someone calls again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, yes, your servant is listening. And I look at that and think, okay, God spoke three out of four, Samuel didn't respond to God. Here he wasn't listening. I mean, he heard his name, but he really wasn't getting the connection of what was going on. And I thought, you know, that's interesting, because how often does God speak to us and we miss it? You know, do we get one out of four? I don't know. I don't know what our odds are. And that's something you each need to kind of evaluate. But how many times does God speak that you actually hear, that you receive? Interesting something to think about. Here's the thing. I think we can increase those odds. I think we can hear a lot more from God if we can get past our own hard-headedness. Seriously, it's just as simple as that. If we would trust God's leadership and management in our lives more, we could hear Him better. Does that make sense? It does to me. If we can hear Him better, then we can receive His instruction to us. His guidance, His wisdom, His correction. When He disciplines, it's not fun to be disciplined by God. It's like, you know, being disciplined by a parent. Nobody likes it. But if it's done in love, it's done for good. Right? So we need to be able to hear those things. Proverbs 8:32. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are all who follow my ways. And that word happy, again, kind of brings in that Hebrew, that notion of shalom, which is peace, which means there is blessing in all parts of a person's life. Again, I've got to ask you, is that something you're willing to pass up on? If you listen, you will be blessed. You will have peace. You will have happiness in your life. In other words, your moral compass directs you towards obedience, towards openness, and then God pours it out. Here's the thing I noticed this week. We can't bless ourselves. Think about that for a second. we can't. We can't bless ourselves. So if I'm going to have life and peace and health and joy and prosperity in my life, it means it's going to have to come from outside of me. Right? God is going to be the author of those things. Am I open to that? Will I listen to that? Will I allow Him to speak that into my life? Nothing breaks a parent's heart more deeply than a child that will not receive instruction, will not receive correction, will not receive words of wisdom or caution. In other words, in one ear and out the other. It breaks a parent's heart. Every one of us that's ever been a parent has experienced that. And some of you that have young kids, you will find that out, unfortunately. Your heart will be broken. And yet, how deeply don't we break God's heart by doing the very same thing? In one ear and out the other isn't just something that affects kids. It affects you and me too. It does. God says, in one ear, out the other. We were watching a Natalie Cole movie / documentary the other day. And someone was playing her life during the early parts. Her dad, Nat King Cole, very, very famous, very, very well-loved. And she tried to follow, in some extent, in the music industry. Things didn't go so well. Well, she was very successful, but she was always being compared to her dad. It was not an easy situation for her. She got involved in drugs heavily, influenced a man that was engaged. He was a minister. He was engaged in marriage. She influenced him, got him out of that, onto drugs himself. At the end, she actually plays herself near the end of this movie / documentary, and then she comes on. She's just talking, not in a role. Just she says, "I don't know why God blessed me with second and third chances. I think it's called God's grace. I didn't deserve it, but I'm trying hard not to waste it." I said, "Ooh." Pause. Rewind. Peggy's running the remote. I'm writing. I want this. I've got the piece of paper. I'm not going to get rid of it for a while. I didn't deserve it, but I'm trying hard not to waste it. And so, today, what we're going to do, I know we're past, we're going to wrap this thing up. In order not to waste God's grace, we're going to take a few moments. You notice in the bottom of your outline, it says what? Self-evaluation of your moral compass. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Okay, I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit, but I'm asking just get yourself in a place. It's just you and God. Week one, we said our hands. Do you have diligent hands? Is there a work ethic there that says, I work for God first and foremost? I give my best effort. I keep my hands off of other people's stuff. My feet, what do I go towards? What do I steer clear from? In particular, how do I deal with temptation? My tongue, are my words a blessing to others? Do I use those four filters, or do I just say what I want when I want to? Do my words add value to the lives of others? And today, eyes and ears, do I take seriously the task of monitoring the custom agents to my heart and mind? And in this evaluation time, in these moments, ask yourself, is there a measurable difference between my moral behavior, my choices, and the rest of American society? Is there a noticeable difference between my lifestyle and that of those who don't follow Jesus, or do I just blend in? Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, help us to be honest with you. As we kind of work our way through this eval, and also, Lord, help us to hear you. You've given us two ears. Help them both to be open to you this morning. To recognize that you want to lead our lives and speak into our lives because of your love. Not because you're trying to rain on our parade or bust up our party. Make our life miserable. You love us. You loved us enough to walk across the universe and empty yourself of glory and power. You laid down your life and were raised again this morning, Lord, reaffirm for us our trust and faith in you. The kind of trust and faith that would give you complete control of our decision making. Especially the kind of things that we watch and listen to. Lord, you have said that you have placed your Spirit in us, giving us power over everything that would take us away from you. Today we receive that power again, afresh and anew, that our moral choices would reflect true north. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As the worship team comes forward to close us out here, you may go ahead and stand up, and we'll sing our last song together today.
That is why I think that this walk on the 28th is going to be a turning point for our congregation. I think that God is having us do this for a reason. I think he wants us to take our feet and our hands and what we do with our eyes and our ears and our tongue, and he wants us to preach the good news and bring the good news that God is all about love and forgiveness and graciousness. And that's just a lot to wrap around. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to process. But I think what God has taught us in all of this is that he's never going to let us go. No matter what we do, he's watching us every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. Wants to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And so, Pastor David, we thank you so, so much for these lessons that you've taught us. And I know our moral compasses are going to be changed because of what we've been hearing.
Amen.
And so, with that in mind, let's celebrate God's glory as we sing My Redeemer Lives.
I know he rescued my soul. His blood covers my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Do you believe that? Let me get an amen. Amen. Here we go.
I know he rescued my soul.
He did.
His blood covers my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise a banner.
Why?
'Cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives.
Yes, he does.
My Redeemer lives.
All the time.
My Redeemer lives.
Yes, he does.
My Redeemer lives.
Here we go.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Here we go.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's good to give God praise, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. He's an amazing God. He's blessed us in ways we can't even begin to think about or even ask for, let alone imagine. Amen? Amen. So, t-shirts. Got that down now? Communication cards, get them to the middle. We'll grab those. T-shirts next week. Wagons and hand carts on wheels. We need some of those. We're doing a potluck, too, so don't forget about that. I think we're going to be grilling some hot dogs and some. We're going to talk about that in our board meeting today. I'll mention it next week. But come prepared to have an awesome time. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to invite all the moms of little ones to meet with us next Sunday morning at 9:30. We're going to meet during the chat and chew just for some support and sharing parenting tips.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Okay. What age kids?
Well, maybe younger.
Younger kids?
Toddlers on up to maybe...
Kindergarten?
Yeah, kindergarten.
So anybody kindergarten below, if you got kids that age... 9:30 this coming Sunday.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, before you take off, receive this blessing from the Lord. May the custom agents of your life be in God's hands. Amen. Have an awesome week. Bring somebody with you next week. Remember, 40 becomes 80.
Come on and bounce with me like this. Come on. Can you bounce with me? Quiet, help me with this one.